Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, we are watching Twitter. I realize I mispronounced Fugazi earlier in the show, so now I see some of you have started the hashtag Brian Lehrer Indie Mixtape. So we'll post the list later in the week. Keep them coming. Do you ever wonder who you're talking to on the other end of the phone when you're arguing about your cable bill with a customer service representative? It's pretty likely they're in some place like Bangalore in India. It's known as the Silicon Valley of India, a major economic and cultural hub and the fastest growing major metropolis in India. And young people from all over the country are leaving behind their traditional Indian families to be part of a new modern India. This is the backdrop of a new novel by Bharati Mukherjee, winner of a National Book Critics Circle Award, author of seven novels, and professor of English at UC Berkeley. She has written a new novel published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt out tomorrow. It's called Miss New India. And Bharati Mukherjee joins me now. Welcome to WNYC.
Hello, Brian. Thank you for inviting me.
So in the book, we meet Anjali Bose, a 19-year-old young woman who was born into a traditional lower middle class family. She lives in a backwater town in the state of Bihar. She has finished school and is expected to be married off to a boy of her father's choosing. She's resistant and is encouraged by her expat American teacher to go to Bangalore to be part of a new modern India. She's both Anjali and Angie. Anjali is her father's daughter, and Angie is the bold young woman drawn toward Bangalore and modern India. The novel starts out with her struggle to choose which girl she wants to be. Is she representative of the modern choice in India as you see it?
As I see it. For me, I go to India every year, and I have a first cousin in Bangalore, so I've been frequently in Bangalore. And the exciting story that I was watching, even before I had the idea of this novel in mind, was the tremendous consequences of this influx of foreign money into second-tier towns like Bangalore, cantonment towns. And the big story that I could see was the migration from small-town India into cities like Bangalore, which was the future, and the empowerment that young ladies with modest education and a great deal of ambition had as they left their very traditional parents who believed in traditional and religious virtues, and they were saying, I want and I have the guts to try it.
And so from that, and maybe from an American standpoint in general, we're rooting for her to choose modern India. But in the book, you really tell the story in a way as she has trouble communicating with her teacher, Peter Champion, for example. You tell us really that it's hard for outsiders to understand why this is a very difficult, even impossible choice for her.
Peter Champion is one of those very kindly idealistic Americans who went out to developing nations, including India, as Peace Corps volunteers. And then something happened to them internally, a transformation of the soul, if you like, so that they found it very difficult to get back to their hometowns in the Midwest or wherever in the States. And renew the life before they had gone on their idealistic trip. And Peter Champion is an enabler in the sense that he is able to stoke the fire for a life of her own that is in my 19-year-old protagonist. He's also a gay expatriate American. And what I discovered as I was writing was that Anjali, who had had no idea of homosexuality because it was illegal in India until recently, that she realizes the bond that she can make with another group who all feel that they're internal exiles in some way, and who can who are into human rights. They both want a sense of being recognized as self-worth, and they want both recognize that they have a right to happiness and must try and fulfill it.
Bharti Mukherjee, the novelist, talking about her new book, Miss New India. We have just a few minutes for calls, but I wonder if any Indian Americans listening right now identify with the Anjali-Angie divide. For you, for your kids, maybe you're watching this happening to a second generation in the United States. For you, having chosen to come to the United States, or anything you may want to say about this very briefly, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And I read that the idea for your book came from a customer service call to one of these call centers. You asked the representative's name, and she gave you a two-syllable, easy-to-pronounce American name. She was clearly trying to disguise her Indian English accent. Why do you think she was trying to mask her identity? And why do you think we Americans would want that? Don't we all know these agents are not in the U.S. anymore?
Well, this was early on in the outsourcing business when American corporations insisted on soothing the customer and therefore making it as easy as possible for the customer to be negotiating bills or activating credit cards by young people in employees in India. And so Nayanthara, let's say, is too hard a name, the corporate people decided. And so it became Nan or Nancy. And they were encouraged in those days not only to speak as American version of English as possible, but to give themselves biographies that were very American.
I like to ask people after I finish one of those calls, what city are you in today? And they cringe. I can hear them cringing before they say Manila or San Salvador or Bangalore. But then I say, it must be, is it a great day there today? You know, I'm just giving them some love for doing whatever work they're doing and having to talk on the phone to people like me. But they think they're going to get it once I ask that question.
In the beginning, they would tell me, when I asked exactly the same question as you did, where are you really, that they were not allowed to say where they were. But it was quite clear that they wanted to know from me what the weather was like in San Francisco.
And you write about, you've interviewed people who are agents and professionals in the call center industry who work in accent neutralization and accent enhancement. I guess that's a big business.
Yes. And that was, for me, the most interesting part of my heavy-duty research and interviewing. And I became great friends with young women from fancy girls' schools, English-speaking girls' schools, who had now gone into business of two kinds of accent training. One is accent neutralization, so that Indians from regional places where the vernacular language has explosive T's and D's have to learn to cut it down, or who get mixed up between V and W have to. And then there's accent enhancement, which means you have to sound as American as possible.
And you've lived all over the world. You were born in Calcutta. You moved with your family to Britain when you were 8, where you learned to read and write in English. Now you live in California. When you went to Bangalore in your research for this book, did you get the sense that the young people were satisfied? Did the promise of Bangalore for the Angies of the world match the
reality? For the time being, yes. It was so exciting for them and therefore exciting for me that they felt that they had made a break with their parents' generation, and that now not only were they financially independent, consumerism was an honorable thing. I've made it, you know, that a sign of success, but also the permission to do all the forbidden things that traditional Indian Hindu society had imposed on them. You can get fat now. You can have eating disorders.
Oh, boy.
You can have, instead of traditional arranged marriage, you can choose a partner without even thinking of marriage. It's lust and love and, you know, self-fulfillment.
Anne in Bergen County, you're on WNYC. Hi, real quick.
Hi, I just wanted to say I attended Montclair State University, and Professor Mukherjee was my professor.
Pleased to hear you.
It was a long time ago, but you were a wonderful professor, and you introduced me not only to your own work, but the work of Chinua Achebe and other international writers, and I've always remembered you, and I can't remember a single other professor.
Oh, that's so kind.
Thank you very much.
Montclair State gave me a lot of material for my book of stories.
Do you ever find yourself in a similar role as your character, Peter Champion? Under what circumstances do you feel like you have to be your student's champion?
I feel that they give me as much as I give them. I want to bring out the best in them, not only as writers, but as human beings, empathic to victims and villains. And I hope I'm a little wiser than Peter Champion turns out to be.
And having lived in at least three countries, do you identify with the struggle to adapt and mask your identity that the workers in the call centers go through?
Not with masking of identity, but assuming different identities. And so for me, writing fiction is a way of inhabiting lives and personalities that I wasn't dealt by fate.
You have an event coming up tonight at the Asian American Writers Workshop. That's 7 o'clock at 27th Street and 6th Avenue. What will be happening there?
I'm going to read and answer questions, read from my new novel.
Let's see if I can sneak in Jerome in Fanwood. Hi, Jerome. We have about 30 seconds for you.
Yes. Brian, I greatly admire your show and you in particular.
Thank you.
I am an Indian American. I live in New York and live in New Jersey and have an outsourcing business in Bangalore. And I very much relate to what Dr. Mukherjee has been saying.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Bharti Mukherjee, winner of a National Book Critics Circle Award, author of 7 novels, professor of English at UC Berkeley. She's written a new novel published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. It's out tomorrow. It's called Miss New India. And again, she's got an event at the Asian American Writers Workshop tonight at 7 o'clock, 27th Street and 6th Avenue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Again, a quick reminder that if you're into politics, you should be into our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. See Anna Sales' article about Tim Paul Lente and the debt he left behind as governor of Minnesota and a lot more at itsafreecountry.org. And thanks for listening today. Hope to talk to you again tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.